Well, I got a little taste of heaven myself this week. Not quite that level of heaven, but a little bit lower. I was working away on the message for this morning, and I received a text message. It was actually a video text from my wife, who often does that, which is very lovely. But it actually wasn't, she sent it to me, but it wasn't my wife. It was my daughter, Sophia, and she had a little message for me. And our daughter, Rebecca, said one of her first words this week. Dada. Woo! Yeah! Woohoo! Doesn't that just warm your heart? Yes. What a present at Christmas time, I tell you. Oh, man, oh, man. And I missed it, but I got it on a video text, so that was nice. But love. We're talking about love. And boy, my love quotient just skyrocketed when I read that. And just want to encourage us today as we look into the Word of God. He loves every one of you with an everlasting love. And just want to encourage us today as we read and we pray that when we walk out of this place, that we'll feel and sense from the top of our head to the tips of our toes, right through to our soul, the love of Jesus. So that's pray, and then I will read to us from 1 John chapter 4. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you for that special treat of music, that heavenly touch. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for your touch through the gift of our daughter, Rebecca. Different ways of expressing love, different ways of showing love. And we just thank you for the immensity, for the depth, for the inexpressibility of your love. Father God, your word can't even fully express your love. And so, Father God, I pray that as I speak, that you would help me to be able to express, even in just a small portion, what the depths and the heights and the widths of your great and wonderful love is. We thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Thank you for that love and how deep it is. So we just give you all the glory, all the honor and praise today, and may we leave this place having experienced your love so that we can show that love to those around us this Christmas season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your phones or your tablets, there is whatever your reading pleasure, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who loves who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Well, the subject of love, the love of God, is vast. We see it in many songs. We hear about it throughout the scriptures. A.W. Tozer has this quote, "All Christians have tried, but none has ever done it very well." I can do no more justice to this wonder-filled theme of love, he says, than a child can grasp at a star. God's love is so deep, so wide, so immense. To describe it in a half-hour sermon would not do it justice. Amen? It's like a child grasping at a star. So I will try my very best, as the Holy Spirit enables me, to give a little taste of what God's love is. It is so wonderful. So love is a gift from God. And where is this origin? The origin of love. Well, in the Old Testament, we see is the word ahab in Hebrew and chesed. And these two terms of love come to us. Ahab is used 217 times. And has the definition to love or to like. And the word in Hebrew, chesed, is used 249 times. And has the definition of kindness, love, loyalty, mercy, and covenant faithfulness. Wonderful thoughts for us. And is one of the deepest words in the Hebrew language, next to shalom, is chesed. In the New Testament, we see agape, phileo, storge, eros, are all used as terms of love, and we'll talk about those a little later. But overall, 782 times in the Old and New Testament, God's love is spoken of. So love comes from God. We see this in verse 7. Love comes from God. Come speaks of origins. The origin of love is God. But God is not consumed by that. That is his characteristic. But many of his other characteristics are seen through his love. Another quote from A.W. Tozer says, "From God's other attributes, we can learn much about his love. We can know, for instance, that because God is self-existent, his love has no beginning. Because he is eternal, his love can have no end. Because he is infinite, it has no limit. Because he is holy, it is the quintessence of all spotless purity." Let you marinate in that for a little bit. Isn't it intense? God's love. God's love is so intense. So everyone who loves has been born of God. Do you know that we're not necessarily naturally born with God's love in us? But it's born into us as we make the commitment at the age of accountability and whatever that may be, to know God, to know him as our Savior, as our Lord. And there's a term that we use, born again. Right? We have accepted him as our Lord, as our Savior. Those who love, we can see pictures of this love in different ways, in different people, before they come into a relationship with Jesus. We can see it, as I mentioned, about Rebecca. We can see it in our children. We can see it in people who do not believe. But the full essence of God's love is not seen until that person gives themselves over to the ultimate in God's love, and the ultimate expression of God's love, Jesus Christ. So we see that expression mentioned here in verse 9. This is how we know God showed his love among us. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Death came through Adam. Life came through Jesus Christ. Hope that we talked about a few weeks ago, peace, joy, all find their ultimate fulfillment in God's love. Hope, peace, and joy find their ultimate fulfillment. We read this in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We read in John 1, 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Jesus came to dwell among us in order that he may dwell in us. Amen? Yes. He came to dwell among us. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why we come together as we do each and every Sunday, is because Jesus came to dwell in us, to make us live, to come alive, to live through him, to find our origins through him, the origin of love, to really love, to lay down our lives for one another. And this is what the essence of this passage and much of what Jesus taught about his love is. It's sacrificial. We read in John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What a wonderful command. How do we love one another? We see here God's love is made complete in us. When? When we love one another. Complete. Talk about that in a minute. So how is God's love shown to us? As I thought about that this week, a Chris Tomlin song kept running through my head. Chris Tomlin is a worship writer, a worship songwriter. Many of you know How Great Is Our God, and we sing a number of his songs. Probably have sung the song that I want to read the lyrics to, or one of the lines of his song called Indescribable. It says, you place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart, and you love me the same. What a line. Did you hear that, church? God breathed out the stars. The one who created the universe. The one who channels the winds and knows when the snow and the rain come down from heaven. He created your innermost thoughts. He knows every hair on every one of your heads. Even if you got a haircut this week. He knows. God knows the intimacy of every heart in this room. And he knows the good thoughts, he knows the bad thoughts, and yet he loves us the same. Does that not encourage you, church, this morning? That God loves you the same, despite where you are, despite what's happening in your life, despite what you may be thinking, where you've come from, where you are, where you're going. God loves you the same. Wow. God's omniscience does not change the level of his love. Amen? God's omniscience, his all-knowingness, does not change the level of his love. So in light of knowing a little bit about his love, the origins of his love, how will we walk out in this love? Well, I just mentioned verse 12. It really stood out to me this week. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. How is it made complete in us? If we love one another. When is God's love made complete? Well, when we love one another. But also, the contractual, covenantal relationship of God was made complete in John 19, verse 30. You guys know what John 19, verse 30 said? It is finished. The last words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Complete. Jesus took everything on himself in order that we might gain everything. He gave everything up in coming to earth as a babe and living 33 and a half years on this earth. He became nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant in order that we may gain heaven. What love has been given to us. What ahab, what chesed, what agape has been given for us. We need to live that out by loving one another. Well, the perfect description of God's love is given to us in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. I want to show you a short video that shows the juxtaposition of 1 Corinthians 13 and the ministry of Jesus and how he embodied God's love. So take a look at this for just a minute.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends.
The way of love, the way of Jesus. So the way of Jesus, the way of love is made complete in us as we love one another, as we walk out in the attributes of what we just saw and what we read about, not just as a wonderful thing to read at a wedding, 1 Corinthians 13, but one way of life that God has called us to live out and embody, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. We read these words in John 15, verses 13 and 14. Greater love is no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. We see this embodied in the verses in Acts 2, 42 through 46. They loved one another. They were in one accord. The early church had everything in common. They shared everything. They knew each other's hearts and minds. God's love was being made complete in them, and as God's love was made complete, God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Charles Price, a preacher once in Southern Ontario, said, "Revival never happens outside of serving other people. Revival never happens outside of serving other people." Amen? Do you want to see revival? You want to see people come to know the love of Jesus in a new way, in a fresh way? Serve. Show love. Well, I told you the two words in the Hebrew for love. Do you know there's up to 8 words in the Greek language for love? Up to 8. But I want to share with you 4 of them briefly, and then show you a story and tell you a story that embodies 3 of these 4 words. Many of you know them already. Phileo, agape, storge, and eros are 4 words that the Greek uses to describe love. Phileo, what is phileo? Phileo is a companionable love, a love that speaks of affection, fondness, or liking. Kenneth West says, it is a love that is called out of one's heart as a response to the pleasure one takes in a person or an object. Phileo is a love that responds to kindness, appreciation, or love of another. It involves giving as well as receiving. But when it is greatly strained, it can collapse in a crisis. Phileo is a higher love than eros because it is our happiness rather than my happiness. This love is called out of one's heart by qualities in another. That is phileo. Agape. Agape is called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the object loved. It is a love of esteem, of evaluation. It has the idea of prizing. It is the noblest word for love in the Greek language. Agape is not kindled by merit or worth of its object, but it originates in its own God-given nature. God is love, and this love delights in giving. This love keeps on loving even when the loved one is unresponsive, unkind, unlovable, and unworthy. It is unconditional love. This love is a consuming passion for the well-being of others. If you can put it in one statement, agape is a consuming passion for the well-being of others, just as Jesus talked about in our John 13 reference. Storge. Storge is a love that has its basis in one's own nature. It is a natural affection or natural obligation. It is a natural movement of the soul for husband, wife, child, or dog or pet, if you have an affection for those furry ones. Storge is a quiet, abiding feeling within a man that rests on something close to him and that he feels good about. Okay, now, kids, plug your ears. Okay, or those that are younger than 20. No. This is just for honeymooners and those beyond, okay? We're not going to go there until Valentine's Day, but I'll just touch on it very briefly. Eros, it's a wonderful thing. When you're married, amen, married couples? There you go, yes, wonderful. This love is erotic love. It's a love of passion, overmastering passion that seizes and absorbs itself into the mind. The basic idea of this love is self-satisfaction. So what are the three? We're going to go back to phileo, storge, and agape. Living those out, what does that look like? Well, I want to share a story with you that embodies that. It's called A Shared Christmas. For some of you, this may be a little bit easier than others. Put your mind back for a moment to 1952. Okay? Anybody? Can you go back that far with me? Think about that. Some of you are like, I wasn't even born then. I was still in diapers then. But think about that, okay? Don't think about people in diapers because you're going to lose everybody. So, okay? But 1952. Get that in your mind, okay? Magdala had never experienced a cold quite as harsh as this. Even as she had experienced the freezing of the canals in Amsterdam, this cold was biting and chilling. She had just put her little 9-month-old son down in a cradle next to the stove, and she started to wonder. She had been told about these harsh winters in Canada and what they look like. But she had never felt cold quite like this, and didn't realize that when she got here to go to bed, she'd have to put every stitch of clothing on that she ever owned, and had to wrap a steel water bottle around her feet and around her kids' feet underneath their covers. She was freezing. She sat there and wondered, why did I ever come here? Well, that chill went a little deeper into her heart as she began to pray for her husband, Johannes. He had come as a registered nurse, but his qualifications didn't quite allow him to be a nurse here in Canada. And so Johannes got a job as a first aid person working with the oil field workers in Alberta, which took him away from the family home week upon week, and he would come home on the weekends. But that chill went into her heart, because at first when he came, they were quite excited a few months earlier when things were a little warmer, and they got to drive back and forth, and said, oh, Magda, when I drive this far, I would have had to cross borders in the old country. But now I get to drive, I'm still in the same country. This is amazing. And so Johannes would come back and forth, And she continued to worry about him as the cold weather got worse and the wind and the snow mounted. And so she would think of home. She would think of times when family was close. And she could recollect the warmth of those that she lived with near Amsterdam. And they would come together at this time of year and celebrate the Christ child. Now fast forward your thinking. December 2016. Teresa had never experienced cold quite this intense before in her life. She wondered how people could survive in this. She spent her entire life in Manila. From her parents' house, there's only a few blocks away between her and her family. And she moved here, and after staring at the thermometer outside of her kitchen window for a little while, she decided to put the furnace on a little bit more because she said, well, I need to be warm at least for a few minutes. She hadn't realized when she had moved to Canada that this opportunity would come with a lot of pressures and pushback when it came to the weather. Well, she was also missing home. She missed the times when Christmas music would start in September in Manila and not end till New Year. All she had was some streamers and some snowflakes hanging from the ceiling, whereas in Manila, the whole house would be decorated very immensely. But on the budget that they had and the job that her husband had, it just didn't allow for that extra expense this year. She was happy for the opportunity that living in Alberta, Canada, brought her daughters and her son. And even though she missed her family greatly, she knew it was the right thing. December 1952. Magda sits in her kitchen repairing the knee of the pants of her little three-year-old daughter, who likes to be a tomboy and play, and she, as she knits, she thinks of times when she would sit around a fire like this and talk to her other family members and do the same thing, and they would knit together, they would bake together, and they would celebrate Jesus together. She begins to get very melancholy. But all of a sudden, there's a knock at her door. She comes out of her dreamy-like state and knocks, goes to the door and looks out, and it's a little frosty. She has to get the hand up to the window, and she opens the door, and there is a lady outside the door that she doesn't recognize. Hello, she says. Oh, she sees this lady all bundled up with mittens and a scarf around her face right up to here. And this lady says, hello, and Merry Christmas, and welcome to Canada. Thank you, Magda says. I'm so sorry I didn't get here sooner, the voice says. I just found out that you had been here for a few months, and I'm really sorry I didn't get here sooner to give you a warm Canadian welcome. Yes, Magda said. Thank you. She was a little hard on to speak English. She couldn't really say much, and she kind of paused, and it was an awkward kind of conversation that took place between Magda and this lady at her door. The lady then stutters, I'm so sorry. Do you speak English? A little bit, Magda said. The lady goes on to ask her the question, are you from Germany or from Holland or from Belgium? At the mention of her home country, her eyes got really big, and oh, she really, really liked that. Well, she said, there's a lady I know in town. Her name is Mrs. DeWitt. She came from Holland in the 1920s. We should really connect the two of you together. Yes, thank you very much, Magda said. I would like that. And by the way, who are you? Oh, I'm so sorry, this lady said. My name is Abby Johnson, by the way. And here's some things for you for Christmas. I don't know if you like to bake, but here's some sugar and some flour and some butter. And by the way, this Sunday is our Christmas potluck. We'd love for you to come. We like to bake things, or we like to cook things that we can share together. But don't worry, if you don't cook or bake, that's okay. We just want you to come and join us, please. Yes, said Magda. Thank you so much. December 2016. Teresa was at home by herself, typing an email and ready to go on Skype with her sister from Manila. She was typing away. She thought about her middle daughter, Bia, and how much Bia enjoyed school but often got bored. And when she got bored, she started to hang out with her friends, and those friends weren't all that great. And she started to get into a little bit of trouble. And she smiled to herself as she thought about this. And then she remembered what her sisters and her often got into trouble doing as well. All of a sudden, as she was still in her email land, ding dong, the doorbell goes. What in the world? Ding dong. She runs down to the door and looks through it and gets the frost off the window a little bit, and there's a lady standing there. She opens the door and mitts and scarf up to her nose, white hair flowing. She says, hello. Teresa couldn't quite place the accent of this woman. My name is Mrs. Durant, she said. I just came to pay you a welcome. Thank you very much, Teresa said. My name is Teresa de la Cruz. Lovely to meet you, said Mrs. Durant. I heard you were new to the neighborhood. I wanted to welcome you to Canada and to our lovely community here. Brought you a little basket of goodies and wanted to welcome you and invite you to come to our Christmas potluck this Sunday. We make things and we have goodies, and we like to share and eat, especially ginger snaps. Wow, Teresa exclaimed, thank you so much. You are so kind. I will come to your potluck. Do you have a family, Miss Teresa? Yes, I do. My husband and I, Edwin, have three children. Katrina, Carlo, and Bia. Lovely, Mrs. Durant exclaimed. I too came here in the fall of 1952 with three kids from Holland. I had these questions go through my head, Mrs. Durant said. How do people stay warm in this cold? How do they do it? And did I make a big mistake in coming to Alberta? Well, immediately Teresa felt a kinship with this woman, and she invited her in. Well, Mrs. Durant said, well, if it's not too much of an imposition. No, of course, come in. So she helped her with her coat and everything else, and she began to explain, Mrs. Durant explained, well, my husband Johannes and I, we came here in the fall of 1952, and our little boy, as we came over on the ship, got really, really sick. But as we settled into our time here in Alberta, he got better and better. So we were glad. Did you ever feel, Teresa paused for a moment, as her heart began to beat a little harder. Did you ever feel sad? Did you ever feel lonely? Oh, Mrs. Durant said, I was very lonely. I didn't understand sometimes. I didn't know who to turn to. At home, family was so close, but here, family was so far away. Yeah, Teresa's eyes started to warm a little bit with tears. I think the same thing. We get to go on Skype once in a while. We email back and forth, but just not the same thing. Mrs. Durant said, all we had in our day was letters. No such thing as internet back then. My mother would often write me, Mrs. Durant said, and would say, you know, you're not really alone because the Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I suppose that's true, Teresa said, as she touched the cross necklace that she wore around her neck. But he gives us something else, too. He gives us his church. Mrs. Durant said, the moment this place started to feel more like family was the moment I was invited to church. A lady came to my door and invited me to a potluck. I went there and we shared, and we've been family with that church ever since. Mrs. Durant took Teresa's hand in hers and clasped it tight and said these words, these people have been a real gift to us. They'll be a real gift to you too. Teresa, with tears in her eyes, responded, yes, thank you, Mrs. Durant. Thank you. As Mrs. Durant got up to leave, she put her hand on Teresa and said, please, call me Magda. Agape, phileo. The love of God is made complete in us when we love one another. We love one another. You know that people's greatest need is to know and be known and love and be loved. People's greatest need is to know and be known and love and be loved. The love of God cast out the fear of loneliness in both of these women in this story. When we love one another, God's love is made complete in us. Our true origins, the origins of who God has created each and every one of us to be, shines through. Jesus' presence and his love is birthed in us just a little bit more. And I pray also for those around us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the one who came and left heaven and the glories of heaven and came to earth, a much greater distance than any immigrant has ever traveled across this earth. And you came and were born in a lonely cattle stall so that we may gain the riches of heaven and the fellowship of our Heavenly Father, the fellowship and the relationship with the Holy Trinity. Lord Jesus, I pray that your love would fill hearts and minds and lives today, that you would cast out loneliness, that you would cast out hopelessness, that you would cast out those who have no peace at this time of year, and that we would all enter into 2019 with a greater sense of your love, with the origins of who we are really meant to be deep within our hearts. Father God, I pray that, and I know that there are Magdas and Teresas, maybe even in our midst, but in our town and in our areas of influence. Father, help us to in us. May we take even a little extra time to really get to know someone after church today. And not just be settled with, I'm fine, I'm okay. But to show that completeness of your love to one another. Jesus, for your sacrifice, for your love for us, may it grow. Would be given hope, peace, and strength.